we will have a time where we can stand up publicly and thank God for all his many blessings. Well, we can't thank for all of them because we would be here too long. So we'll limit it. Just a handful of those blessings we'll stand up and praise Him for this morning. But hopefully you've been looking forward to that. We want to look at God's Word today. And I pray that none of us would be here today because this is what we do. Hopefully you're here today because with everything you have, you've come to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Otherwise, let's close the doors and never come back. God is worthy of our worship, not our moralism, not our traditions. He wants our hearts. And He wants us to worship Him in spirit and truth. That's the only thing that glorifies Him. So with that in mind, let's ask Him to bless our time in His Word and to speak to us. Father, we need to hear from You today. We live and die by Your words. Lord, we have nowhere else to go. You have the words of eternal life. And so speak to us now through Your Spirit and glorify Yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So turn to Acts chapter 2. Our text this morning for our consideration gives us a picture of a healthy church in which God is at work, in which His Spirit is sensed, His presence is sensed, and His name is praised. And we know it well. Acts 2, verses 41 and following, where God's promise to build His church begins to be fulfilled. Right? We remember that Acts is the record of what Jesus continued to do and teach through His people after His ascension to glory. On the day of Pentecost, God called to Himself 3,000 people, right? 3,000 of His sheep, and He added them to His church, and the church exploded, literally, in the world. In Acts 2, verse 47, we read that the Lord was adding to their number daily those who were being saved. It was God Himself at work in His church. This is not the church doing the work, it's God doing it, and for His own name's sake. This passage calls us to remember who and whose we are so that we can consider what it means for us to be God's church. We aren't rogue. We're not left to figure these things out on our own. We gather, we're not really sure what we're supposed to be doing, right? Whatever the world does, I guess we do. Now, that's not it at all, right? God's given us our orders. He's given us the pattern for which we're to follow. And this is it right here in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 and following. Ultimately, because we're God's church, we're never interested just in following traditions. We want to be a church that pleases God because we're conformed to the pattern He laid out for us in His Word. So it's not called tradition, it's called obedience, right? And it's never stale and oppressive and legalistic, but it's full of life and joy and grace and His presence and His power. Amen? And so in our text today, we can see two parts, real simply, because this is going to be a get the plane up to 35,000 feet and then land very quickly on a small runway. Two parts, what God did and how God's people responded. Right? That's really what it is. What God did and how His people responded. So what did God do? In verse 41 and verse 47, we see what God did. Through the preaching of the gospel by the Apostle Peter, Jesus brought many to life in His name. Right? That's what leads up to our text, beginning in 42. Through the preaching of the gospel, the good news by the Apostle Peter, Jesus brought many to life in His name. Peter proclaimed the message of salvation. You want to know what grows the church? It's the gospel. That's what does it. Not gimmicks and tricks and giveaways and all that stuff the world thinks that grows the church, right? Here it is. This Jesus, Peter preached back in 23, verse 23. This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified. Killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised Him up. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And here's the glorious gift. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Right? For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. Amen. Peter was faithful to preach the gospel as he was told, and God called his people to life in himself. And so Acts 2:41 and 47 tell us what God did. It says simply, he added to their number, right? The glory behind that is that the gospel brought people to life, right? And that's what God did, and that's what God does, and what God continues to do. Just a beautiful thing. I read a story this morning, a testimony of an older World War II veteran who just came to Christ, right? Finally, saw the person of Jesus in all his glory, came, repented of his sins, and believed, and was miraculously saved. That's what God does. That's the business he's in. And how did his people respond? We're told in verse 42 and then 43 through 47. We're given a summary statement. If you look at that text, a picture of what the church is to be about in verse 42. It says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Now, what's interesting, if you read through verse 43 through 47, it's an expansion of verse 42. Right? So that's the summary, and here's the expansion. Here's the description of the early church and their life together. It says, and awe came upon every soul. That awe is awe at God. Right? It's worship. By the way, I don't know why we're so knuckleheaded, but the Bible never simply describes worship as singing. Well, we finished the worship part of our service. Are you stupid? No, your whole life as a Christian is an act of worship. Your obedience to God's word this morning is an act of worship. You're standing and praising him, verbally expressing praise for his blessing and thankfulness for it. That's an act of worship. Singing is only a small portion of it. But you certainly should be singing, right? That's a part of it. But that's not our worship service. And we've transitioned on to something else. No, this is still worship. God's glorified, elevated in this place. Awe came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together. Kind of significant. That's what church is. We have to be together to do church. And had all things in common. They were selling their possessions, belongings, and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. God was at work. The early church devoted themselves to several things. First of all, the apostles' teaching. Devotion to the Lord Jesus means we're devoted to the teaching of his holy word. You know, one of the reasons that Christians became the most literate group in society, wherever the church started, was because they wanted to read the Bible. Right? It all centers and hinges upon the teaching of God's word. The apostles taught nothing else. What was the apostles' teaching? It's this right here. It's God's word. They didn't teach opinion. They didn't teach tradition. They taught the scriptures. They gave themselves to this. And God's word, the Bible, is sufficient. The sufficiency of Scripture, that's a doctrine of an age gone by. Right? We don't think the Scripture is sufficient, but it is. And this church still believes in it. And when we say the Scriptures are sufficient, we mean that it's all we need for life and godliness. That's it. You don't need to look to anywhere else. You don't need to find help anywhere else outside of God's word. That's what we mean by that. And we believe that God's word is infallible, that it's fully inspired, and that it's God's very word. And when it's preached, we believe that God's speaking to his people. They devoted themselves not just to the apostles' teaching, but to fellowship. Devotion to Jesus means devotion to his people. Groundbreaking. Somehow it is. To be a part of the fellowship, the koinonia of God's people, you have to be in the Lord Jesus by faith. It doesn't mean you show up in a church building once a week and you get together with people who are in Jesus. You don't get to be in fellowship with that. You have to actually be in Jesus yourself by grace through faith alone, plus nothing else. to be in the fellowship of God's people. But if you are in Christ, being devoted to Him means being devoted to His body. And it looks messy. It looks like this. It looks like sitting beside people who are different, have a different way of dressing and doing things, but who love Jesus, right? And that's the glue that holds us together. Salvation by grace through faith is the basis of our life together. Notice the church is not only made up of saints, but it is a fellowship together. We gotta come together. And by the way, that's what Hebrews is talking about. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Be the church, even when it's tough, even as you see that day approaching. Encourage one another to love and good deeds, right? Don't stop being the church. The church means life together. They met daily. And they weren't legalistic about it. They wanted to be together. I mean, I wouldn't do life very well as a Christian if I was here 25% of the time. And you don't either. They met daily. They shared all things in common. This is not communism. Okay, Bernie Sanders would look at, well, look at that. Anyway, I can't talk that dumb, but this is sharing things because they have joy in Jesus. This is not mandatory by a wicked, evil government run by an oligarchy, okay? Communism is the sharing of misery, not joy. This is the sharing of joy and the blessings of God. They're completely different things. They were together. They shared what they had, who they were with each other, and they loved doing it. And I mean this. I feel sad for those who only ever come to Sunday morning service and who never become part of the living, breathing thing that is the local church. If you don't spend time together outside of looking at the back of each other's hair, you are not a part of the life together that is this church. If you don't go house to house, serving together, praying together, you're missing out on a massive part of what Jesus died to give you. He died for it. This life together is not some cheap, tawdry little thing that you can just toss aside and kind of enter into when you feel like it. No, this is blood-bought fellowship and togetherness, oneness in Him. And it's full of, gosh, more blessings than I could begin to explain to you. They were taking their meals together. It's talking about more than just communion. They were actually hanging out, day in, day out. They got busy involving themselves in the lives of one another. There's no other way to be the church. And they were breaking bread. The Lord's Supper was important to the early church. It wasn't just a ceremony. It wasn't just a tradition they performed. It was the gospel they were celebrating in communion. Right? What it pictures for us is that Jesus gave His body and His blood for people like us to make us one in Him. They celebrated the Lord Jesus and His self-sacrifice for sinners. They were being obedient in celebrating the supper, but they truly never got over what Jesus had done for them. That He gave His own life so they could be forgiven and reconciled to God. And then it says they were giving themselves devoted to the prayers. Literally, that's how the text reads. They were continually devoting themselves to the prayers. Yeah. This is foreign to us. That means that there were set times of prayer in the early church. And that people showed up. And I just can't get over the fact that it was more than once a week and people were still there. They were devoted to this. By the way, the word is continually devoted. It's present active indicative. Which means this wasn't a one-off thing, dude. This was always. And it wasn't for 1 week or two. As the church just started, there was real excitement, and then they died off. Found bigger and better things to do. No, they were devoted to this continually. specific times of prayer. And it means that whenever they got together, they remembered just how dependent they were upon God, which is what prayer is. God, whatever you've called us, we don't have what it takes to do this. We need you. And we need your blessing. We need you at work in us and in spite of us. So please do it. And worship, they were given to worship. Now that word worship doesn't occur in this text, but you understand that that's what drives everything in this text. Why would people give themselves, devote themselves to the teaching of God's word? Why would they devote themselves to fellowship, life together, to worship, to prayer? Why? Because they were all in awe of God. He was just that magnificent and holy and gracious and good and long-suffering and patient and merciful that he deserved to be worshipped. That's the glue that holds all of this together. It is the fuel that sustains the church. It's God himself. And then notice verse 47, if you will. They were praising God and having favor with all the people. The world may be able to manufacture one day a year where they give some higher power praise. Right? Maybe. I heard an atheist the other day thanking, I don't know who in the world he was thanking. Okay? I'm grateful for. To whom? Who are you saying thanks to? Right? No one's at home. See, the church, this isn't a one-off day for us. Once you're at Thanksgiving, oh, we're going to praise God. Thank you. No, this is who we are. We're thankful people because we've been bought at a great price. Price of God's own beloved Son, given for us so that we might be reconciled to God. A holy God with whom we do not have the right to have a relationship, but he pursued us. They were together praising God. There is palpable joy, excitement emanating from the gathering of these saints, all because what God had done for them. He allowed them to see what they had done to Jesus, that they had killed him. Our sin hung him there on that cross, because that's why he was there, to pay for our sin. He allowed them to see their worthiness of eternal wrath. And because of his grace, He caused them to see what Jesus was there on that cross doing, that he was saving a people for his namesake. And Luke tells us that a peculiar mark of the church was and is their thankfulness, gratitude, and praise. So that even this day where we're going to stand up in a minute or two and give praise to God, is we're not doing this because it's tradition. We're not doing this because, well, this is what we normally do. No, we're doing this because this is who we are as the church of God. That this is in the text. Praise marked the early church. That word praise is also present participle. It's telling us it's the ongoing, continual expression of praise to God. It's not a command, but a description of who we are as the church. And so gratitude, in part, defines us as the people of God, down to our very core. Now, what is it? Exactly, that keep praise and thanksgiving from being a natural part of our life together. It's not shyness. No. It's not the inability to speak. It's not the lack of having something to praise God for. Are you alive today? Do you deserve to be? There you go. Enough said. It's not because we're shy or have nothing to thank God for. It's because it's called pride. Pride keeps us from expressing thanks to our Heavenly Father. If I could give you a definition of pride in this sense, it would mean this. Pride is the inability to see God for who he is and for what he's done. You cannot see it. Praise is the opposite of that. It is the result of seeing God for who he is and what he's done. Because if you see Jesus in his glory, if you see the crucified, risen Savior, crucified for sinners like you and me, it's not only humbling, but it directs your attention to him and it causes you to give praise to him. For the gift of God's love and His grace. His love is poured out for you and I from all eternity past. He chose us in Him from before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless in His sight. That's the love of God. He chose to make us His treasured possessions. Can you imagine? And He sent His only Son to redeem us from sin and judgment. He gave His Spirit to regenerate our hearts and minds, to make us a new creation in Christ Jesus. This is what God did. And the only fitting response is continual praise, not only for salvation, but for every blessing that comes to us from our gracious God. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no shifting shadow, no change, right? He's constant and immutable. And He's gloriously awesome. And so to count your blessings, name them one by one, right? That we should never have to have a command. We do. The Bible has commands to give God praise, but why? We don't need one, do we? His people don't need any impetus other than the fact of His glory and His person. He's wonderful. So, let's share our praises to the Lord this morning, not out of duty, not because it's what we do the Sunday before Thanksgiving, but because we're Christians and we're part of His people. We are a people who should never have been a people. Right? I shouldn't be here today. I should not be named among those who are redeemed. But we have been. If you're in Christ today, I would say this. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, man, come. Come to Him. Repent of your sins, believe on Him, and be saved. Gloriously saved, made brand new. And if your hang up is that God couldn't forgive you of X, Y, and Z, guess what? He forgave all of us, right? It's like what John Newton said. I know God can save anybody because He saved me. I know God can save you because He saved me. If you're here today, there's nothing God cannot forgive. His Son, the blood of His Son shed on that cross, paid for the sins of the world. Can you imagine that? So come. If you're in Christ this morning, gosh, we're so blessed, aren't we? In spite of us. So what's on your heart to praise God for today? What is it that He's been doing in your life in spite of your lack of deserving it? I'm thankful for, I already mentioned this a couple weeks ago, but I've been married 25 years, and I'm thankful to God that He's blessed me so richly. Not just with a godly wife, but with kids who are wonderful, whom I love. Yeah, He has been good to me. For a long time, we didn't think we could have kids. And as most of you know, Sunday we moved to Ohio. That Friday, we found out that Sunday was pregnant. And it's pretty neat. Boy, God works. His timing is pretty cool. I think of that often. How about you? What are you thankful for today? Mike.
Okay. Some people can't hear. So, I'm just so thankful that God saved me. As a young boy, growing up in the country, I had a mom that was blind and a dad was alcoholic, but he put us in a little town that had a church that I could walk to, and being the youngest of seven. He just blessed me at a young age, and I don't know why, but, today, Christy and I just celebrated our 38th anniversary a couple of days ago, and he gave me a wonderful wife, two wonderful daughters, and a church family, and he put men in my life that showed me what it is to walk in the Lord. And the church that we grew up in was a little bit different doctrine, but never was there a Sunday that someone didn't give up and stand up and give praise to the Lord. And I'm so thankful that I knew that, you know, that what I was and what I could have came to be, but the Lord had different plans in my life. I'm so thankful for this church. I'm so thankful for being there for us in my Sunday school class. These kids put up with me. Why? I don't know. You know, and I'm so thankful. And the cubbies and the leaders that we have, and seeing those kids come in with their innocence and saying, you know, we know what, you know, just being loving the Lord and allowing us to have these days with these kids. And so I thank this church. I thank the young kids in my Sunday school class, and I thank for the cubbies that came in and that we have. And we started out a year thinking, oh, we're probably just going to have two or three, and now he's got us up to 11 or 12. And you know, it's just me little thinking that, oh well, he's got plans. And I just thankful for who he is, and he's saving me.
So I'm thinking about my kids as well, in this past year, and just some growth in them and different areas, and just thankful for those limping leaders down there. I don't want to name them because I don't want to leave anybody out, but you know, I think about the investments you guys are making in the lives of my kids, and they'll take a verse test or something, and you know, it'll come up to me, one of the leaders, tell me which one they need to work on, and just that's such a blessing to know that other people are, you know, in the lives of my kids, because they're first class little sinners, believe me. And you know, if there was a camera in our house capturing our worst moments, man, believe me, you'd say, well, that's a mess, you know. But to know that there's faithfulness here and leaders that are ministering to them each week and care about them, and you see them doing their little quiet times, and I wish I could tell you it was always because they get up and they have this little angelic harp that they play as they go and do this on their own. I mean, it's not that way, but you know, they got these programs that these kids are involved in that really are meaningful, and just thankful for all you limping leaders. I mean, this time of year it gets dark at 3 p.m. It's cold, you know, and you're coming out here on Wednesday night pouring into the lives of my kids, and I'm thankful for that. Real thankful.
Grace, I don't mean to embarrass you and Olivia, but I am very thankful for you two and how you're putting the Lord first in your lives, and how that's an example to those at school and to those that you are around. I'm just very thankful for it.
I just wanted to share, I'm first thankful that God saw fit to save me. But I was wanting to share that I'm grateful that God has placed women in my life to disciple me and to point to Christ. And last week, Barb died, but she and I got to walk together over the years. And it was beautiful the way that every story she told, she could show her thanksgiving to God for what he had done in her life, and the way he had blessed her. And she was always tickled that, like, God did this for me, and would you know that he did that, and that he, and it was helpful to me to see that as we tell what's going on, we can share the love of Christ with other people. We can change our own hearts to be not so selfish, but rather grateful for all the things that have been given to us that we are very unworthy. So I'm thankful for the life of Barb Pabst and the time that she spent here teaching us. And it'll be great to be with her again.
first and foremost, I'm most thankful for my salvation. I can remember a time I was saved in about my mid-30s when I was in my living room and I was just wishing for a new life because I was so tired of the one I'd had. So my boyfriend at that time, now husband and also unsaved, took me to, well, first of all, he told me about Revelation and what was going to happen then. And I thought, I don't want that for my kids, you know. So we went to a revival in Richmonddale, and I got saved. And like Pastor, I'm just amazed for the fact that he wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life before time ever began. And I've also had a lot of regrets in my life, and somebody this week kind of put that, you know, because you think, why couldn't I have been saved when I was 10 or 20 or something like that, 5 years old, like some kids are. And it was just at the appropriate time that God wanted me to be saved. Everything is in his control. So I really praise God and thank him for that. And then two Sundays ago, my son's middle daughter, who just turned 16 this year and was driving, and she was on 16th Road between Stoutsville Pike and Route 22, and she had a little bit of a lead foot, and she didn't read the signs that that curve was coming up. It's like 45 or 90-degree angle. Not good at that. So her car rolled over, I don't know how many times, and it was a Jeep, and I guess all of the airbags came out, including the back window one. And as people arrived and everything, the only thing she has wrong with her is that her hearing is a little muffled in one ear. And that is all, and I am so thankful for that. So, and I'm very grateful for the church. My husband isn't saved. Most of my family isn't saved. The family's kind of fractured. So between you guys and God, that's about all who I can gush on about God. So I appreciate you and thank you for your love and care.
Well, now that it's warm, I guess I'll go. I'm thankful for this church. It's a huge blessing in my life. Our kids have learned, have deepened in the faith here. Thank you for the teachers on Wednesday night. I will pull out Gary for he pours into my son, and I thank him very much for that. And the cubby leaders every week. Pouring into my daughter, so I thank you for that, Brian. Not going to cry today, right? Every time we do this, we cry. All downhill after 30, right? I praise God for my wife. I praise him for the love that we have for each other, Lord. The love that we have for him that grows our love for each other. I praise him for the struggles that we have had and that we still have to this day, that we are learning who God is through those struggles. And we thank him for that every day. So, with that, who's next?
I probably will cry. Years ago today, my dad passed away, and this church really blessed us, not only with prayers of my dad's salvation, but just text messages and just people coming over and just praying with us or comforting me, and then he blessed us with Jacob, and I'm just so incredibly thankful for this church and for my, don't cry, because I'm doing good so far. Just the not only the leaders, but also the older people in this church and how much they pour into Jesse and I and our children. It's incredibly important, I feel, for older people to also show Christ, and they do it to my kids. So I'm incredibly thankful for this church for everything they've done for us.
I'll follow up since I'm right here beside her. I'm very thankful for the health of my family. Jacob was born several weeks early and pretty tiny. And as you see him now, he definitely has put on some weight. So he's doing very good, and we're very pleased with that. But mostly I'm thankful that God has given a heart to my family for Christ, and that I don't have to push it on them. Because without his grace, I could never have done that. And I'm also thankful to the state trooper out here on 674 on September 9th, 2014, that wrote me a speeding ticket on my way to work. And that was the broke camel's back and led me to Christ. So thankful for that guy.
Well, I'm thankful to...
Go ahead.
I'm thankful to have a church to go to. As you know, in the next month I'll be 90 years old, so just look at all the things that I've come up with. My dad had a saying that there's no one probably closer to God than a farmer is. He puts a little seed in the ground and expects to grow a harvest out of it. And he said if you didn't believe in a higher up, you didn't believe in anything. So I'm thankful for our church and the ladies I eat dinner with on Sunday. They say I've got an old rooster and a bunch of old hens, but we sure have a good time. So I'm thankful for all the people that I go to church with and my long life.
So, you know, I'm thankful to God, not just for my salvation, but I'm a junior this year, and in a couple of years, you know, and there's several of us who will be out in the world, and just as I have looked over my past few years, just the blessing of all the people that God has put into my life, and I mean mostly adults, but just the wisdom that they have shared with me, and the blessing of just keeping my dad around to watch all of us kids grow up. Dad had Hodgkin's lymphoma. Non-Hodgkin's lymphoma when I was 10 years old, and I remember thinking, you know, what it was going to be like not having Daddy come home from work and not seeing him every night, or, you know, I mean, eventually, hopefully, walking me down the aisle, or just being the example of the kind of man that I would like to marry, but the fear of the Lord and the wisdom that he has bestowed on us kids. And I remember Mom and Dad coming home from his surgery, and a few weeks later being scanned and told that the lymph node had contained all of his cancer, that he was cancer-free, and that he was one of the two cases that this doctor had seen that was completely cancer-free. And the ministry of our church family, who, I mean, meals and coming over and praying together, and knowing that we were going to be taken care of if Dad went home to be with the Lord. And it was a very hard thought of, why is he taking the Lord? Why is he taking my father from me? And I knew that it was for his glory, but, you know, it really hits you with the reality of what it means to not, you know, have a parent in your life, because the way that God has designed a husband and relationship, or husband and wife relationship, and how that looks parenting-wise. And I don't know. Lots of tears, lots of coming downstairs to see where Dad was, and we'd sit and cry and pray some more, but yeah, that's probably one of the things that I'm most thankful for, is that he's still here. And I mean, now we're in Columbus, and this church family to hopefully become closer with and share life together, because that is what the Christian walk is about. But yeah.
I won't talk long. I just want to tell you something that happened Saturday. My great-granddaughter, got greats too. It's hard to keep them all straight, but some of you know Sasha. She used to go here. She was on 188 going to the dentist, and I don't know why, but her tire went off in the gravel on the side and flipped the car. And she's in the Grant Hospital under observation. She came home yesterday toward the evening, and thank God she has a laceration in her spleen, but they think it'll heal normally. And thank you so much. So many of you prayed. I don't like Facebook all the time, but I'll tell you what, that's one way to get prayer going. As soon as I found out that she had been taken by ambulance up there to Grant, I just put on Facebook, please pray. And so many people were praying all over. I'm my family back home, and thank God she talked to her on the way to church this morning, in fact. So thank God for your prayers and the time that I've spent in this church. And my husband died when he was 51. Heart attack. And I remember driving by this church and thinking, my grandfather pastored a country church, and I didn't know anybody here, but then I found out a lot of my kids that I taught went here, and I thought, I want to go to a country church, and I've been going here ever since, and I've been so blessed in so many ways. Pastor Todd is, I went 3 years to Bible school plus Ohio State, and I've learned more from Pastor Todd than I learned in the 3 years in Bible school. So I thank God for this church and for all of you, every one of you. You're my family.
I just want to say real briefly, we're very thankful to have found Blessed Hope, and the preaching here is a rarity. So count your blessings. The it's a hard find to have. And we strongly believe that's where the church is built on, is the preaching of the word. And we can in turn look to one another and grow from that.
I just want to thank the Lord for all the prayers that he's answered with a yes, and also the ones with a no, because I learned a long time ago that even the no ones are for my good and his glory. And years ago when my mother had a heart attack, and I begged him not to let my mother die, but he did. And I look back later, and I've felt this way for years, I look back later and I thought he was merciful, because she didn't have to watch her kids go through cancer and heart attacks and Alzheimer's. And he was merciful to take her home. And also, when you get old, you lose most of your family and all your friends that you've known all your life. And I'm so thankful for the sweet ladies at this church that have become my family and my best friends. And I thank the Lord for that.
Everyone's looking at me. We're going to praise the Lord in a song, and then we're going to keep this sharing going. So if I, ask the music people to come on up here. Please grab your hymnals and turn to 308. There is a Redeemer.
Close to noon here, so we probably only have an hour left. I'm just kidding. That was a joke. Now, maybe just five or so more minutes. God's been so good to us, we want to point back to him. It is he who saved us, not we ourselves, right? The longer I am a Christian, the more I know that I had nothing to do with saving myself. It was all God, all his mercy and grace. Praise him for that. How about somebody else? Anything else that you want to publicly thank the Lord for today? Brian?
just want to tell you that I'm grateful for this church as well and my salvation. I've been a Christian most of my life, but I feel at home in this church. You have become my family, and yes, I'm one of the old hens, but he's the one who lays the egg when we go out most of the time. I want to also tell you the ongoing story of Vivian. She went back for her two-year check this past week, and praise God, everything is wonderful. She's a normal child. Her esophagus has no scar tissue, and she is so, so fun. And I sent my granddaughter a text whenever she sent it out to all of us that was the result. And I said, isn't God wonderful? And she wrote back and said, yes, he is awesome. And he's just awesome.
My wife is in the nursery, but I'm going to give you some of her praises that she tells me about. So Teresa shared in her testimony about her husband, Shauna's dad, leaving, you know, the state and kind of disappearing out of her life. And I want to thank, I'm going to keep tradition, Bo, and I'm going to keep on crying every year, you know. So I want to thank the men that stepped up. I'm going to name a few, and I'm going to miss some, but Mitch Scott, for showing her what a dad looks like. For John Cout and his veiled threats toward me if I ever messed up and broke her heart. To Ed James for helping us out. I'd work on his car and tell him, like, no charge, man, like, God bless. And Ed said, hey, man, who's got more money, me or you? I said, definitely you. He said, well, take this. So I just so happy for the teaching here that Shauna benefited from, and then with our marriage that I've benefited from and grown, and just all the people that have stepped into our lives. When Faith was born with her heart defect, we had people send us snack bags and money. Like, what can we do for you? You know, just a wonderful, godly church family that filled in when my wife needed them and when I've needed them.
Well, I am probably going to cry because that's just normal for me. It doesn't matter that I'm over 30. That's just something that happens to my eyes. I know I probably say the same couple of things every year, but I can't not say how thankful I am, as everyone has said, for this church and how all of you pour into our children so genuinely and urgently. My mother-in-law, Cappy, who is so wise, she always tells me, you know, don't worry about if you're missing things. God fills in the cracks, and I do feel that God uses his people to fill in the cracks. As a parent, because I have so many deficits, and I make so many mistakes, and just the joy that you all have serving in the children's ministries in this church are just so refreshing. And the desire that everyone has to grow the gospel in our children and all of the children in this church. Just thank you, Carolyn. She's the official tissue passer outer for today. So thankful for that, too. And something else I just want to share. One of the many reasons why Bo and I are so thankful for this church, when we started attending Blessed Hope, it's been almost 9 years ago, we were so brokenhearted, because at that time we had been trying to have a baby for a very long time, and we had just suffered another miscarriage. And I just remember thinking, Lord, why are you allowing this? We just desire to have a child so deeply, and I cannot express to you how incredibly comforted we were by the people of this church that barely knew us, that came up and said, we heard what happened and we're praying for you. We've either went through the same thing, or we know somebody, or we just love you. And they didn't have to say that. They didn't know us. And it just helped us to feel so encouraged that we were in the right place. And later that year, when we found out we were expecting Harry, not only were we rejoicing, but everyone in this church was. And it was just so awesome. And then, you know, we had some loss after that. And then we had Penny. And I just feel like our kids are everybody's kids at this church. You all were praying for those babies. And I think that's just why I'm so thankful for those that lead our children and care for them. And I just love you all so much, and just the encouragement that you provide for our family.
I know everybody keeps saying, like, thanks to all the people for helping the kids or whatever, teaching the kids. And I just want to say on my behalf, and I know, like, Eric and Val and Jamie and all of us and Spencer, we just want to thank you guys for letting us work with your kids, because we do love them so much. And it blesses us so much every Wednesday by you just bringing them here and letting us be with us and trusting us with them. And I know it's really, I'm more thankful for that than you could possibly be for what we do for them. And I just, like, to tell you, like, my friend, this is a profound moment I had one day down there. Julie Ryan has been my friend since I was, like, 12 years old. And we're sitting there, and we're reading scripture to kids, and we're all on the floor, and they're all around us. And I'm like, God's story, like, wove us together. And when we were just, like, little skinny girls that liked to play basketball together, and now we're 30 years later and we're able to sit here and teach kids. Like, wow, God, like, why would you let me do that with my friend Julie? And it's just so profound that he uses us. And I'm just real thankful to be used and for you guys letting us be with your kids, because it kind of blows me away. So, thanks.
You know, I just want to, it's a good mic. I just want to give thanks not only to the church, but more importantly, just the unwavering word of God that brings so much peace into my life. You know, I was saved like 16, 17 years ago, and if someone asked me the biggest change in my life from that conversion, it's probably the peace that that's brought into my life. You know, with so much stress, anxiety, anxiousness, and coveting throughout the world of trying to be something and chasing something, there's a peace to be had in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because everybody is chasing everything. And if you just chase that one thing, the Lord, and that relationship with Him and building brings so much peace. I mean, I just can't believe the weight that is off the shoulders after that conversion that word provides. Not only the church family, the solid preaching from Pastor Todd, but, you know, that word of God is just brings a peace to myself and my body, and I'm so thankful for that. You know, about 8 months ago, I was put on blood pressure medicine, you know, 5 milligrams of lisinopril, very low dose. But I can't help but think, what would that dose be if I didn't have the word of God? If I'd be on 100 milligrams, you know? So, you know, that's just a great internal peace that I have in my life, that no matter what, no medication, no car, no vacation, no new wife that I'm chasing, none of that can fix anything. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm not, you know, I don't need to chase. I don't need to do anything. I'm content. And that is the peace that the Lord has brought to me. And that's just, and you can't find that nowhere else. In any other families, any other, you know, trying to change your circumstances, you cannot find it, because all that peace is in one thing, not anything else.
And let you all go eat lunch. But don't eat too much, because we're thankful for tacos, too. Right? So we have our taco potluck tonight. What time is it? Does anybody know? 5:30, it is in the bulletin, right? So hopefully you're able to come back for that, and we'll have good fellowship, eat some good tacos and desserts and all that kind of good stuff. But God is good, and he's good to sinners like us who deserve nothing but his wrath, but he's given us all things in Christ. Amen. And he's going to bring us home all the way to glory, and we'll be like him. We'll be done with sin. We'll have perfect fellowship with him, with each other, for the rest of eternity. And that's not pie in the sky. That's legit. It's for real. And he's good to us. So we're thankful. All of us, we can go on all day. And maybe we'll have some more time to do this again soon. God bless you. And we're going to sing a hymn.